Hey, you got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. And in the studio from the Karioi Project, I've got Crystal and Summer. Good morning.
Morena.
So, Summer, I've just turned your microphone on. That'll be helpful.
Morning.
So, everybody knows who Crystal is, Karioi Project's head honcho. Summer, you are an intern. I didn't know we had interns with the Karioi Project. How long have you been helping out?
I think it was since March this year, but I've been volunteering since... I think it was like maybe April 2023 or like mid 2023, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's just sort of developed from that, and it's been really cool.
So you've sort of grown up around here, have you?
I'm from Matamata area, from a farm.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So, but you've been coming over to volunteer.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and I moved here like March this year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were just having a discussion off the air. You get paid a little bit, but it's not like it's not like a job, and it's also not like being a volunteer.
Yeah, it's like in the middle.
Yeah, is that how? I'm kind of curious about for the purpose of the radio station, how the whole intern thing works.
Yeah, well, it's just
Do you have a policy?
We're making it up as we go.
Yeah,
oh, I see.
So basically, like Summer was still at school, and then I think was it through Gateway or
well,
work experience?
Like she helped. Like she, it wasn't like in the program, but I was like, hey, can you mark me present while I like do this stuff? And she's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so she came in as a like senior school student,
yeah,
and then wanted to get experience. And you know, we obviously do lots of education stuff, and we really wanted to be open to a young person coming that wanted to. And we've had other students like that, and so Summer hit us up and just had lots of self motivation to get herself out here, and then spend quite a lot of time with Jasmine, I think. And then wanted to move out here. And
sorry, I'm getting all sorts of messages. They're irrelevant, though, I think.
Oh, good. So anyway, and then she wanted to move out here, and she's just been awesome, like just being really self-motivated to get going. And but obviously, as a school leaver, you don't have that much work experience necessarily, and especially in conservation.
I didn't. Yeah.
You know, like you don't. So this year is really for her to get lots of experience with us. Like she's doing some train, like when we have training days, like she can join in, and then gets lots of one-on-one kind of mentoring support to learn on the job.
Yeah.
So one day a week she does that, and we give her a koha to just help. Cover some of her costs, and then what was I going to say? And then so she does one day a week, and then she's working at Dreamview,
to kind of
help pay the bills. Yeah,
yeah, that's handy. That's handy. Yeah. One of my daughters worked there for a little while, so
yeah.
So why did you first get involved? Given that you were an hour and a half's drive away, why did you first get involved with helping out on the maunga?
I think like what or why or both.
What? Well, how?
Yeah. Oh, how?
Well, how did it happen?
Well, I think because like, I've always loved Raglan, and we came here for like family holidays, and then so like we joined the like notice board
Facebook, yes.
And then I saw an ad from the project, and I was like, oh wow, this looks really cool. So I looked more into it, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna like flick them an email, and then yeah, it just happened from there. And I just started volunteering, and Crystal hooked me up with Jasmine, and she said, oh, you can come in these dates, and like. The bait operations, I did two of those, which was good. And yeah, just like it was sort of like bursts of like a few days at a time, and then back at school, and I kept doing that. And then yeah, since I've moved here, it's been like nice to be more regular and like good, like as an intern, to like learn so much more things than I would as a volunteer.
So had you been interested in conservation sort of issues prior to that?
Yeah, I say like at school I was like, I really don't know what to do, and then I was just like looking at things, and I was like, why don't I just like volunteer in a conservation group and see if I actually like conservation and if I want to do this as like a pathway.
Yeah.
And I do. I love it. So yeah.
And she's awesome. She's really good out there.
So you're getting up the mountain all the time, and but are you also seeing like all the organisational stuff like Crystal does? And some of the other staff do.
She doesn't sit next to me while I sit at my computer. But she's
writing up great applications.
She sees the chaos of my life because she stays at my house.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess she gets to see lots of glimpses of what's going on, and maybe some of it's over your head. I don't know. But, yeah, like we have conversations, and like at the moment we've got Joe with the species dog coming out. Mm. Like,
yep.
So Joe's been staying with us as well. So then you get to have those conversations, just be kind of there organically picking up things, as well as, you know, that we try and have focus time, or like sometimes we have some training, or yeah. we'll get her on to, you know, getting her like first aid and, yes. you know, so we kind of, okay. we've made a commitment to Summer to get her onto some training and, you know, put effort and energy into her.
Mm.
And we've had other amazing people, you know, along the way that have done things like that. But because she's young, we've called it an internship.
Yeah.
But we, like, when Nick first started, who became like our backyard hub coordinator and then our seabird ranger, she initially volunteered for a day a week and yeah. said, hey, I can give you a day a week. What would you like me to do? And then we're like, oh, do you want to run the backyard hub?
Mm.
And that's how we started the backyard hub. And then she later became a seabird ranger. So, like, people can sometimes progress, you know, through roles because they've just made this huge commitment of giving us time and effort. And it's absolutely amazing. And I guess when you have people do that, it gives us an opportunity to go, okay, we might not have the money, but how can we still make this really a worthwhile experience?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for someone like Summer, whether, you know, it's that she finds, you know, other work or with other projects, or sometimes there's contract work, you know, opportunities with Doc, and she'll go away, you know, with more experience and the opportunity to work in other places.
Yeah.
Or if we had work, so, we could offer her something.
I remember I had a degree,
yeah.
you know, was going out looking for work, and the question was always, what experience have you got?
Mm. Yeah. Like, and of course, the greatest experience that we've yes. given Summer is to star in a film.
Well, I was about to ask
in
that,
our
yes.
short film, yeah. yeah.
So I star as a cavewoman.
Yeah.
Midwife.
So she's also a movie star.
So I was just looking at the film yesterday, and you talked about being a midwife, but I didn't think I saw a birth experience in that film. But people, if you haven't seen it, it's very hard to yeah. explain. You really need to go to the Give a Little page.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karua Project.
Or well, our website's
what,
got it too.
It's got it as well. Yeah. What is the Give a Little called?
What is it called? Power Our Rangers.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you go Give a Little page and then Waikato, I think you can easily find Karua and just Google Karua. Yeah.
So there's a lot of chaotic things happening, but apparently not everything made the cut.
Yeah. yeah.
And so, also, Louis, our DJ, dressed very scantily. I was going to ask, could we use that for our podcasts?
Oh, for sure.
We'll put that on the podcast yeah, for Louis's show.
It's in the public domain.
It's in the public domain
now.
You can
plagiarise it.
It'd be his new podcast imagery.
Yeah, those guys, yeah, it was, I mean, we also have Jasmine, who used to do costumes in her previous career.
Oh,
so,
right.
So that helped. But
so
you
all wearing like caveman outfits.
We were wearing caveman, cavewoman outfits. And so basically the idea behind the film was like, hey, we've been traipsing up this mountain like cave people, like, because we don't have a vehicle to get us up there.
Right.
The idea behind it is that it takes us a huge amount of time, especially at this time of year when you can't go with a truck or anything, can't go up the mountain because it's so wet. And so you might spend, you know, half an hour or an hour or sometimes even an hour and a half just getting yeah. to the bush line.
Yes, right.
So it's a huge amount of effort, and we can only carry what we have on our backs.
Mm.
And so the time and effort involved to do, you know, get up there is hard. And that's the, you know, so just like cavemen, we're like, you know, taking lots of time to get things done. And can you help us then boost us up the mountain by getting our own side by side?
Side by side?
Yeah, like a side by side.
Vehicle,
yep. Yeah. And we have had lots of amazing farmers helping us get up there. So it's not like we've been absolutely wasting time. But it's hard to constantly borrow and ask for favours, you know, to get up there. And so our next step is getting our own vehicle, and that's what the fundraiser is about. And so then it was like the film goes into like, woohoo, look at us.
Yeah.
So originally we really wanted to get Georgia in the film, and she was like nearly 9 months pregnant, because we thought that would be more impactful, like having this pregnant woman.
Is she
woman.
Not in the film?
She is.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm assuming she's in the photos.
And then Lenny decided that she should give birth while she was on the mountain.
Thank you, Lenny.
So she's there, like, when we're filming it, and, like, with awesome facial expressions, like just giving birth, and then like Summer gets the baby, but then pulls out this teddy bear.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it didn't make a cut because then we were worried that maybe people would think we were too crazy.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And so it got cut out, much to Louis' disappointment.
Yeah. I was also a bit sad about it, but it's okay. And yeah, especially like there was like montages of like each of us like struggling. Like Crystal was like hanging on a cliff and like Louis like fell into this like muddy pond. It was so funny. Yeah.
Did he actually fall into a muddy pond?
It's actually still in the film.
I think
it was 100% commitment. He just rolled down that hill and then just dropped into this pooey farm pond. It was like 100% commitment.
Well, maybe all the outtakes can be released once the fundraiser's finished.
Yeah, we did. We were talking to Craig about that and how maybe we should make a bloopers kind of
bloopers
reel.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun making it, and awesome effort from the team, and awesome effort on the costumes, and yeah, it was fun day.
And how's the fundraiser going? Because how much do you need to get one of these vehicles?
Well, we've been quoted about 30,000. So depending on...
Do you want to be put in touch with someone who's good at negotiating prices?
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that someone, whoever ends up selling us the vehicle, will kind of do a part donation as well towards the cost.
Yeah, yeah.
All our donations are tax deductible.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Because we're a charity. And
did I interrupt you before you said how much?
So I think we've raised about 16,000, but also we've had some money come in directly to our bank account.
Yeah.
So we're close to 20. So we still need to get another 10. And oh my gosh, we've had such amazing business support with like...
I've noticed that.
Golden Homes and Treadlight now, and then Studio Wainui and...
you're going to forget some BizWorks.
BizWorks and the home.
She's pointing out the window, folks. The Raglan Club. No.
Loan Market.
Oh, Loan Market. Just down the.
Yes. And, you know, so grateful for that support. And the match funding is so cool because then people donate $20 and we get $40. And that's been a huge boost to the campaign. But I am a bit like, oh, how are we going to get that last 10? And we've got about 5 days to go.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah, it's hard. I keep having to remind myself that when you ask people to donate, you're giving them an opportunity to be a blessing. That's what someone taught me once.
Yeah.
That's in fundraising.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, what a, like, something you need to hold on to because you feel like an absolute pest when you're asking people to support something. And then I have to really remind myself that the work we're doing is like everyone benefits, and we're doing that for this community and reducing pests and providing conservation opportunities and restoring biodiversity and then doing the education work and doing the work with the school, all that stuff we do off a shoestring, and we provide so much goodness into this community as a project. But, and I'm talking not just our team, but like our team of volunteers and everyone that gets involved in this. And so you kind of have to remind yourself, this isn't about me. This is about what we're all doing together in this community. And that's what we're raising the funds for. So,
yeah,
this is my own little pep talk I'm having on the radio.
I get it. I feel the same way. It's so alarming having a truck driving on the path right outside the window.
Yeah.
I think they're putting all the stuff in the new laundrette.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's been guys out there offloading big boxes of things. I think it's the new laundrette stuff.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exciting.
That's right. Yeah.
Not that exciting. No. Not as exciting as an off-road side-by-side vehicle.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you access the tree line from multiple different directions, multiple different farms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, and some of them are quite remote. So, yeah, but we also take volunteers.
Around the back on Swan Farm and all around there, Rupuki. Yeah.
Not as much, but we're working, but yeah, we're doing, all around the mountain. And it's getting from kind of the roadside across the farms to the bush line. And then also there's lots of traps along the bush line and, you know, getting to them and not having a vehicle, and then also like transporting stuff, but also transporting volunteers. So last week we had about 40 volunteers go up over 2 days and fill bait stations, and we have to transport them up to the bush line just to save their legs a bit.
Because they're not necessarily that fit.
No, it's not about fitness. It's about, like, they're carrying between 10 to 20 kilos of bait on their backs.
Oh.
And then they go up to the bush.
Well, that's a fitness question.
It's a fitness question, but all of them are actually capable, but it just takes so much time.
Yeah, who is that's a serious level of fitness.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
But you're going uphill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we drop them at the bush line, and then they deploy the bait. And then they come out and they just walk down.
But so they roll down the hill.
It's downhill, yeah. The walk out's really nice, actually, because you get to stretch your legs after walking in the bush off track.
You can see the ocean, see out to the ocean.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a bit refreshing. Yeah.
And they're all really willing to do it. No one turns up thinking that they're going to get a ride. But we have set that as like how we operate. So we take them up and they walk out. And it also is a bit of a health and safety thing. So if we need to get up suddenly somewhere quicker, then we have that capability. So there's all kinds of reasons for it, you know. Like, I mean, if there's not many farmers that walk everywhere, you know, like they kind of do the same thing.
Those days long
and
gone.
We're covering that kind of distance and more.
And summer, are you going to be allowed to drive it as an intern?
I mean, hopefully.
You got a full license?
Yeah, but you need side by. All our guys that drive them have off-road four-wheel drive certification as well.
This is certification too, is it?
Yes, so no, summer. Sorry. You can't drive it unless she gets that qualification.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But she can sit in the passenger seat.
Okay. Yeah. Change gears for them. Yeah. Do they have gears? They probably don't have gears either, do they?
Go like high and low and
That's for the Yeah.
So yeah, fingers crossed, but yes, if you do hear this, we would love your donation. Like, it's been so cool, like, you know, whether people have given $5 or $20 or $30 or $50 or $200 or $300 or $1,000. Someone gave $1,000 yesterday or day before.
Big ups to that person.
Like, it just feels such, it's amazing. It just, you know, we feel so much gratitude for that. And if everyone in this community just gave that little bit, we'd get to that next, just that 10,000 odd that we need more would be amazing.
It sounds like the multiplier effect of saving people time and like the efficiency gains from that would be quite substantial.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth the spending.
Yeah. And we've done it for many years without, you know, a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you get to the point where you like, maybe you discovered this thing, oh, this is a good idea, and then you look at the money and you're like, is it a mind jump to go from?
Yeah, it's like, kind of.
How can we afford that?
Yeah, well, we've got the truck, the four-wheel drive truck as well, to get around and, you know, to stuff. And that was a huge investment, but you have to because you start employing people and they have to travel around, and then you can't always expect people to use their own vehicles.
And there's vans.
But we did, and then we got the education van as well. But then, yeah, like with the other stuff, like the guys that cut the tracks, they just about always walked, and then we realized how much effort that was. And then we've had people like Mike Corns and that help out, and he lets us use his side-by-side. And so then slowly, and then someone leased one for us for a while over summer, just to help that a farmer from who's on the Rosha board.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I'll lease one for a few months so you guys can trial it and see if you know, how helpful it is.
Mm.
And so we've had all these different people help out. And then we've kind of gone without again and like up and down. And then on the bait deploy days, sometimes Doc comes and helps and they bring their side by side.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've had heaps of support. And so, but then you get to the point where it's like, oh, we just kind of need to just invest in this ourselves. And this is a really great thing that people can contribute to.
Do it properly instead of bits and pieces. I know that. I know that feeling.
So you try everything until you feel like, okay, we've got so much work now and so many tracks. We've got hundreds of kilometres of tracks. We've got thousands of bait stations. We've got thousands of traps.
Summer, have you been like on, you know, all the, have you been on all the walks?
Not every single trap line, but like I've been quite a few, yeah. And like there was one that I did recently and I was like, wow, it's taking like 2 hours just to get to the main trap line. It was like I was walking to Altair line.
Yeah.
And it took like probably like actually like an hour to an hour and a half, but I was like, this is like, you know, a lot of time where I could have honestly done another trap line. And like, yeah, having a side by side would make a huge difference.
So how many people are on the mountain at any given time? Who's up there right now? Is there someone up there now?
Well, we're on the coast today with the species dog. So there'll be five of us.
Okay.
Yeah, five or six of us, actually. They're quite a big crew out there. But Louis's out there most days.
I know, sometimes I message him. Like, sometimes I message him about radio station stuff, and he's like, I've just got to go quiet for a bit because I'm going up a steep bit. I'm like, oh, you're on the mountain right now.
Yeah, yeah. So Terrence, Louis are up there the most. Then Jasmine's up there quite a lot. But then it's kind of coastal stuff as well, you know, around the boroughs as well as on the mountain
itself. I consider that's more part of it. I mean, it is all part of the mountain.
Yeah, it's all part of it. But yeah, so at any time, usually we probably have at least two or three. Then we've got Caleb and Summer there part-time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got quite a lot of people up there. Like, there's
the volunteers just when suits them, they go up.
Yeah, and the volunteers, heaps of weekends. We have volunteers up there. So, I mean, up to 50 volunteers regularly checking trap lines. But most of the trap lines that get checked are not as remote. And because they go up there less, they don't mind the walk. You know, like, and sometimes they can just access straight from the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they have less.
And they choose a walk that suits
their
level as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, if you're up there every day and you have to walk, say, an hour to an area where we're working or we're cutting new tracks or whatever, you have to walk an hour. Then sometimes you have to walk another hour just to get where you finished the day before.
Yeah.
And then you do your work and then you've got to come out and then it's a little bit less time, obviously, coming out, walking down and then, you know, but that's like sometimes 2 or 3 hours of just getting yourself there. And
we should talk about what the benefit of all this effort is, and something we haven't talked about for a while. But no one likes having 1080 put on the mountain.
Mm.
And this is actually the...
Some people do, but yeah. Not everyone
you mostly hear from... I think it's because you hear from the people who don't like it. I think it feels like no one likes it. But anyway, this is the solution to that problem. If you don't like 1080 being put out in the native bush, then trapping is the solution, isn't it?
Yeah. If you want to restore biodiversity, you, unfortunately, in New Zealand, you have to do predator control.
Yes.
And there would be no birds in the bush if we didn't, and there would be no seabirds coming breeding successfully.
And we know that because that specifically is what has changed here on our coast.
Yes, because we've monitored it. But also you'd be inundated with rats and possums in your backyard. You'd be growing avocados and every avocado will have holes in it and eaten out from rats, and trees would be stripped by possums and everything would just get inundated. And then, you know, forest declines and is destroyed and then the bird life disappears and everything becomes more fragmented and eventually you'd have nothing left. So, you know, so it is pretty dire in a way. And in a way, we're just kind of holding the line until better technology, you know, will keep improving our systems and what we do.
Is better technology something magical that we don't know what it's going to be yet?
I mean, it depends where they go with it, with the type of traps there are and whether it, you know, or whether it's genetic or whatever. I mean, there's lots of potential solutions. You know, what we're kind of doing is holding the line, but also massively decreasing those predators.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting to below 5% activity.
5% of what it was.
Like, say, you know, like, if you've got in a particular area and you set 10 traps, you might get, you know, 70% of your traps full, and we're getting less than 5%.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, that's just a real rough explanation of how monitoring works.
Summer, have you got used to discovering dead animals in traps?
I'm
like, they take a bit of getting used to?
Sometimes they're a bit smelly, but it's good. Like, it's actually, I don't know, I thought I wouldn't like it because I wasn't really, like, a fan of, like, killing things before I started this.
You do grow up on a farm, though, so you do see dead animals from time to time.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I actually, like, really enjoy it now because I know that it's sustainable. It's almost like necessary evil in a way. That's what my friend was – I was talking about it to her and she was saying, you know, like, it's, like, good for the environment, even though for some people it feels like you're doing something bad. Yeah, but it's nice.
It's the reality of the situation. I think it's a bit hard to kind of get around it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you want to hear the good news from yesterday?
From yesterday?
Yeah, so what happened yesterday? Had the species dog out yesterday.
Oh, it was out yesterday as well.
Yeah, we were out the south end of the beach as well as between, like, Half Moon Bay, between the beach and Manu Bay.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That whole kind of area, and walking the coastline and that. And we found 7 new little blue penguin burrows.
Really? 7?
7.
Wow. Yeah. Because I was like, there's 1 or 2 or something like that. That's what I thought there was.
Well, we've always had 1 or 2, but I don't know, just kind of got the sense of like, actually, I think we need to do a real good survey because we hadn't had the dog out for 2 years.
I need to put that in my news bulletin.
And, yeah, so that's really exciting. And then we had, some confirmed, then we're also confirming activity at the grey-faced petrel burrows. And then we saw adults on eggs. And then we saw our first chick.
Oh, first chick has hatched.
Has hatched, yeah. Tiny little, and there's actually a really cute little video of it on Facebook and Instagram if you want to have a look.
Okay.
And you can also see the dog a little bit in action. And just amazing, like, that what that dog finds. And, yeah, we've got these beautiful, little blue penguins sitting tucked away.
Does the dog have a muzzle thing?
Yep.
Curious.
But the dog doesn't get into the burrow.
It knows what its job is.
For safety, it has to wear a muzzle. But, yeah, it finds the smell and then it kind of sticks its head in and goes, oh, yeah, there's something there. And then he sits down.
Okay, and then he gets a reward.
Indicates he gets a pat. Yeah, so
Somebody's phone it's the flashing. Yeah. Why is it flashing?
I don't know.
This
someone
is quite
put
alarming.
It on there. So that's pretty cool. Like, we're pretty excited. Like, I guess that's the difference we've seen since we started monitoring about 10 years ago, is that we saw all these burrows failing and chicks and eggs, chicks dying, eggs getting thrashed, and now we're seeing it thrive. And, I mean, we definitely don't pull everything 100% through, but...
We know that each year there's...
how amazing that these birds are coming back and they're using that habitat because it's safe.
Do you know how many nests are operational this year?
We've got... we're monitoring just under 50, I think, at the moment.
50?
Yeah.
Just under 50?
Yeah, and then when we first started, we knew of about 3.
Wow.
So the more you protect areas, the birds come in. When the birds are calling, they call their mates and they come in. Young birds come back and visit.
Yeah.
And then if it's safe, they'll stay and start looking for burrows and excavating and meeting mates. If they're constantly getting chased away by cats and dogs and all sorts of things and rats, then obviously they're not going to thrive.
Yeah.
They'll still come back because it's their natal breeding ground. So they'll relentlessly come back year after year and they can live up to 30 years or so. But constantly fail at their breeding, attempts. Yeah. So, and actually the one thing probably I need to mention is just how big an impact dogs can have.
Yes.
We have had...
Dogs on leads, people.
Yes.
Dogs on leads right now.
That southern end of the beach and all that Half Moon Bay, Manu Bay kind of area, like, just... got to be so careful, especially early in the morning and later at night. And we've actually had 2 adult birds attacked by dogs.
What, this year?
Yeah, just recently.
Just recently.
Loose dogs, wandering dogs at night.
Yeah.
They pop up on our monitoring cameras so we can actually see who the dogs are, and sometimes we find the owners.
Like, how far have they come from?
They actually come quite a way. Sometimes the dogs have travelled a couple of Ks.
Right, okay.
And the owners aren't aware that they're wandering off.
Well, no, you wouldn't know, would you?
Well, you
wouldn't know where they've gone.
You'd put your dog inside or in a kennel, right? So if you own a dog, it has to be on your property and you have to have it under control. And if you're walking your dog down Bryant Reserve or anywhere near the south end of the beach or Half Moon Bay, please just put it on a lead or just don't go there. Like, there's lots of places to walk your dog, but we literally have had dogs completely dig out burrows, pull out chicks in the past, and now we've had them attacking adult birds. And the smell of these birds is really intense.
Oh, yeah, they're so
fishy.
So
the dogs know, they find them.
They can find them from, they can smell them from a long way out, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a reality. And if we want to kind of live happily together with wildlife and our own pets, all our team have dogs as well. We're aware, you know, of how much people love them, and we love them ourselves. It's a small sacrifice to just keep your dogs away from those areas. And so we are going to go a little bit harder on dog owners and say,
phone people up.
You know, no, not phone them, but just remind them. And also, like, we're treating some of those areas. We've got traps and toxins out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So your dog's actually more likely to get into something that you don't want them to get into.
It's a really good
point. So you kind of, like, it's not safe for the dogs to be out there either. So you just, we just need to be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there places, if people want to take the dog down by the water, are there places like maybe Lorenzen Bay, for argument's sake?
Yeah, but they can still walk the beach, but just don't go past the lifeguard tower.
Okay.
Yeah. So just the south end of the beach you want to avoid.
That's really the main focus.
That's the main focus.
Okay, that's not so hard then, is it?
No. Yeah. So you can walk the whole beach, just like not anywhere past there.
Yeah, you can start from Papahua and like...
Yeah, yeah.
Head out.
Yeah.
Yeah, worries.
So the south end of the beach is the place to avoid. The burrows are literally on the beach.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, well, folks, I've been talking to Crystal from the Karioi Project and Summer, who's an interning with the Karioi Project at the moment. Interesting to hear about interns, and I'll talk with you more off the air about that. And you want to do some interning for the radio station as well, Summer? No, we have.
Oh, you can have your own show.
We actually haven't. We're nowhere near that point. But you actually are welcome to do a show.
Oh, cool.
Everyone is welcome to do a show who lives out here.
Lovely.
So yeah, that's a thing that we do a live show or a podcast.
Wow.
But we're supposed to be talking. I wasn't meant to segue into that. We were talking about the fundraiser for the Karioi Project to get the new side by side vehicle to save the rangers an hour of walk time there and back to the bush line, and able to make it easier to carry heavy objects up. How do people help out, Crystal?
They can on the fundraiser. Or?
The fundraiser, yes. Not carrying your stuff up to the bush line. That's not what I meant. Where is it? Where's it at?
Facebook page and website. Give a little...
Crystal has said these sentences up, so many times.
Search up the Karioi Project on Facebook, Instagram, Google, mm-hmm. pretty much anywhere.
Website.
And you can find it.
Yeah.
And there's a link and you click on it. And then you can watch the cool little video and also donate if you can. Yeah.
Good thing we brought Summer along, isn't it?
I know. Sorry.
I'm just getting all these calls coming through. I'm trying to hide my phone.
No, you're supposed to turn it off when you're on the radio.
It is off, but somehow it's not off. Yeah, sorry.
Hit it with something hard.
We're telling people a lot of unnecessary information.
Isn't that what always...
Thank you, Aaron.
That's how
we're
going to
go and find some more seabirds.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know you've been coming in here quite a few times. You've got so relaxed that you start saying things.
Yeah.
That used to happen to Danielle when she was at the Environment Centre a lot. Yeah. All right, thanks for coming in, guys.